to the Huntley Baptist Church podcast. We hope that this message can be an encouragement to you today. Please feel free to contact us at huntleybaptist@extra.co.nz or visit us at huntleybaptist.com.
Ephesians 5 verse 22 says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." These words from Paul in today's scripture have been the source of much debate. So ladies, before you reach for the nearest rocks in your handbags in order to stone me, please realize that this verse is just one side of a two-edged sword. Jenny and I sat opposite a very wound up and upset couple on a couch in a Huntley home many, many years ago. We had been called to hear both sides of a very strained marriage saga. The husband began, and with his Bible open, he proceeded to bang his finger down repeatedly on the scripture we've just read, saying between clenched teeth, "She doesn't even respect me, let alone submit to me." And there was a ton of emotion in every word, along with a bit of stray spit. And we then listened to an equally emotional response from her until there was finally this tense and quite awkward silence. Jenny then responded very gently by saying, "Mr. X, I noticed that you couldn't even say her name. You called Mrs. X she several times. Is this the way you see her, simply as a she? She may respond more softly to you if she was treated with respect." He replied, "But she has to submit to me. It says so right here." After a bit more angst and a short prayer, we left. Unsure if we could really ever help this couple until something like a miracle happened. See, holding on to our rights can quickly become our wrongs. Holding on to our rights can easily become our wrongs. Understanding what Paul is actually saying in this chapter was revolutionary stuff to the culture of his day, and it sounds like that culture still exists elsewhere, just as it is today. But first, to unpack this teaching, we need to understand the contrast or the context into which it was given. It's always a good thing, isn't it, to go back and unpack who was it written to. It's called exegesis. Women in first century Palestine were, in general, subservient to their men. They were seen by some men as personal property, to serve their needs, to do the less appealing tasks, and to simply provide them with children, lots of children. This perverted attitude of God's original design for marriage had become a stronghold of Middle Eastern culture. And women were told to be subject to men wasn't actually revolutionary, but rather Paul's words regarding attitudes. Based on Christ's ability to break current strongholds, Paul was in fact helping women by balancing up unhealthy attitudes in men and women, but mainly in men. See, Jesus welcomed women to follow, learning alongside the men, unheard of. Jesus spoke privately to the woman at the well, unheard of in those days. He healed the woman with an issue of blood, interrupting an important mission with a desperate father, unheard of. He made known his resurrection to over 500 people after being raised from the dead, many of them women. Jesus ministered to men and women. He went against the culture by raising the value of women, by raising the standard expectation and treatment of women, and by giving women a voice. What makes this teaching revolutionary is not that women were to be subject to men, but that men were to love their wives as they loved themselves. That was radical stuff. Paul's teaching only works. It only works out when men take the lead in loving their wives. And as we tried to tell our troubled couple, you can't have one without the other. If you expect submission, there needs to be an atmosphere of love. That's why this message I've called the two-edged sword. And we can easily be so offended with what appears in modern times and modern thinking to be a sexist teaching from a bachelor apostle that we overlook the verse before it. In verse 21, it says, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." That word fear means reverence. When we revere Christ, we grow in our reverence for others. We are to revere one another, not just when we're out in public, but when the chips are down. When we're at home as a family, we're to revere one another when there's no communication, when the kids get sick, when our spouse gets sick, when you're held up at work and you're late for dinner, or not home at all. My wife Jenny never burns no chicken. That's a quote from a movie, sorry. But I've come to realize that when I'm called, I come. She does not like it getting cold. Loving your wife and seeing her as an equal was revolutionary. Loving your wife and seeing her as an equal was revolutionary. Coming under authority doesn't actually make you less. It doesn't make you less than. You know, it actually gives you great value. See, when the traffic cop pulls you over, flags you down, he or she has the delegated authority of the government to enforce the law. He or she is not more valuable than you, but he or she just simply has a higher authority over you when you're driving. My father was a bit tough on my sisters. He'd make them change if that what they were wearing wasn't appropriate for where they were going. They had a curfew, and he would check out who was driving them. And even jewelry was up for debate. But all this was because he loved them so much, he wanted to protect them in a rapidly changing world that was so different to what he had known. See, compliance to a loving father didn't diminish my sister's worth. It actually raised the standard of measure of those seeking their friendship. They had to meet that standard when my brother Neville had his three daughters starting to date. A little term went round the district: you had to climb Mount Neverest. So it is with our Heavenly Father. His word, although tough to understand and obey at times, brings us into truly living our best life. He's looking out for us too. And his word is actually life and freedom, and it gives us great value. So let's turn, if you could, to Ephesians 5. We're going to read verse 21 to 30, and the guys might have it up on the screen, perhaps. Thanks, guys. "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might represent to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. Are you hanging in there? Some of you might be feeling this isn't for you. But I want to say there's some general stuff that I think we can take out from this scripture. So we're going to go through a few points here. Number one is to submit to one another. So inspired by Wairuatapu, the Holy Spirit, Paul's first challenge for us all in relationships is to submit to one another. Submission is an attitude. Disobedience is a decision. Samuel said to Saul, rebellion is as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That's in 1 Samuel 15. I read the whole chapter this morning. It's the story of Saul not obeying God, not wiping out all the people he was asked to wipe out, thinking he'd just bring a little bit along on the side, you know, bit of a side hustle, few good sheep and cattle, made out that it was for sacrificing. Not. And Samuel calls him out. You know, we need to obey fully, don't we? Submission to that obedience is an attitude. Let's keep a soft heart to correction and realize everyone is worth the same to our God. And our worth does not depend on who we are, but it depends on whose we are. Number two, wives, be subject to your own husband, verse 22. Wives, recognize that there is an order of authority in the spirit world and that God has placed husbands in that order of things to protect, to provide, and to promote good things. And I want to say even an unsaved husband can be the source God uses for timely wisdom. Mutual respect and submission goes a long way. This is really just God's way of providing a swaying vote or a sort of a second opinion plus another extra vote in life's tricky decisions, because everyone's opinion is valid. So wives, verse 22 is not saying you are to be a doormat. Number three, Christ is the head of the church, praise God, verse 23 and 24. Bringing Christ into any relationship is a game changer. Submitting just got a whole lot easier once Paul explained the why. You see, there's spiritual covering and order once Christ is invited into a relationship. He is the why, the ultimate why, the glue, the sustainer, and the savior of the whole body, brackets the church. God's reason for this spiritual order is because he's a relational God. He's a relational God. He is eternal, but he is here in the moment. He's here this morning, amen? He's here with us now. And when he gave the command in the old covenant, we think, oh, well, that's all back then. You know, that's all back then. But when he gave the command in the old covenant, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, he wasn't recommending revenge, but he was saying, if you are going to seek some sort of justice, limit it to what was taken. This was a radical reduction to what was happening. He's always about our good. He's here now in your marriage and mine. And he's saying, if you're going to fight, fight fair. There's an attitude that you both need to have, and there's an order of authority and there's rules. Again, Christ in the mix is the game changer. And if you're not sure what those rules are, read Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Let's do that. I think there's time. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Those are the rules for engaging in any kind of conflict. Finally, husbands. Guys, yeah. Oh, oh. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Stuff just got real, guys. This was the radical difference to the culture of the world at the time of writing. Praise God that most men these days have woken up to loving their wives in some form or another. But it's still a challenge. Guys, let's face it, most of us are amateurs at this. You know, we think if we work hard to provide, we don't have dirty thoughts, and we show up for special events, we're doing well. And we've earned maybe 10 brownie points for each of those things. Wrong. She only counts each of those things as a one. But if you plan a quality time in advance, go all out on a few of her special likes, and boom, that's a 10 right there. Don't make it a surprise, because she loves telling everyone what's coming up and what's planned. And boom, there's another 10 points. You've now got 20 points and you've literally done nothing. You just have to show up and listen. Please, guys, don't blame me if you try this and it all goes to custard. There are a few other really important rules to follow, because it's all about meeting each other's needs. Just a word to young mums, it's easy to make your child or your children the centre of your attention when they're little. Remember that your husbands need respect and time as well. You say, but Johnny needs. Yeah, Johnny needs a dad. And dad's the best way, or the best thing you could ever do for your kids, is to love their mother. Don't you just love how practical Ephesians is? I mean, there's other places we get the family stuff, but this is where we're at today. I haven't just targeted this one subject out of the blue. This is where we're at in our series, and this is the Seeds of Hope series. And these truly are seeds of hope, if you're struggling in relationships. These are seeds of hope. Finally, Christ loves the church, verse 27. A Christ-centered marriage should really be just a foretaste of earthly and an earthly symbol of the eternal marriage of Christ and his bride, the church. I'll say that again. A Christ-centered marriage should really be a foretaste and an earthly symbol of the eternal marriage of Christ and his bride, the church. Some preachers have said, yep, marriage is either a bliss or a blister. My old Bible class leader, he would not want me to be repeating this, but as a joke, he's a very funny man. He said, I didn't know what happiness was until I was married. Of course, it was too late by then. Right now, though, we are his betrothed. We should reflect him. And we covered that 2 weeks ago when we talked about being imitators of God. He wants to present us to the Father in all our glory, having no spot or wrinkle, whoa, or any such thing, but that we would be holy and blameless. Are we there yet? No. But wow, he just treasures us, doesn't he? He treasures us. He's proud of us because he sees us as we're going to be. He sees us as we will be when he transforms us into his body in a moment. But we start now. We practice now. We practice that intimacy with him. We practice that time in his presence, time in his word. We are his glory, just as a wife is her husband's glory. Do we reflect our beloved in our home? at work? Do we reflect Jesus at the sports club or on the main street? Are we faithful to him? A lot of this message may have seemed maybe a bit irrelevant if you are here on your own. But there is a powerful challenge here for singles too. There's a special grace for those seeking God's perfect will. The eternal reward for faithfulness is beyond imagination. One day I just happened to slip into church, sat down by this girl that had been in our youth group. She was getting on in her career and life, but marriage had not happened for her. I sat down and I just got this overwhelming sense of purity. It was like the Lord just gave me the sense that there's somebody beside me that was pure. And I just want to encourage you that the reward for faithfulness is beyond imagination. To sum up, I'm going to read the last part of Ephesians 5 from the Message version. The title is Relationships, and I just pray that this would wash over you. It's not a direct translation, doesn't claim to be, but I believe it's relatable for couples and singles alike as we await our beautiful Savior. Let's read it. Relationships. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husband in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives. Exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor, since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. Father, we thank you for this very practical part of Ephesians. We thank you for your wisdom in placing it between being filled with the Spirit and spiritual warfare in the next chapter and after. Having heard about being imitators of God. So, Lord, I thank you for this positioning of this teaching, the timing for us here today. I believe you're going to do something with this teaching in our hearts. You're going to make us strive to honor you more in relationships. We're going to see others perhaps differently because we've been in your presence today. So, Lord, we just thank you. You are coming. We thank you that you are coming to restore that relationship with your bride and make us like you. We look forward to that time, but in the meantime, we want to live in forgiveness, live in kindness, live with compassion on our hearts. For those you put around us, we pray you'd give us the strength to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Huntley Baptist Church podcast. We hope that it has been an encouragement to you. Please feel free to contact us at huntleybaptist@extra.co.nz or visit us at huntleybaptist.com.